Hello? Okay, we're back on. We're back. Thanks to a little bit of peer pressure, we got some signups for the open mic tonight. We're going to start out with Barry Governor. Come on up, Barry.
Hi. I have two poems. First poem is in two parts. Philippine currency, one. By the time I was old enough to ask the questions I really wanted the answers to, Dad was gone. Radar man, third class, assigned to a mighty midget. He deflected questions with, "My ship was a cork. Got there after the fighting was over." Once in my teens, I thought I had the timing right. Ask once more, pushed too far. He was angry. I was puzzled. I turned to Mom. "What's the big deal? Don't you think he saw those bodies floating in the water?" When I think of Dad, hold his Philippine currency, I see oil, flames, bodies too charred for rescue. Two. Who was this radar man sent to live with aunt and cousin at age 9, who scavenged coal for heat, a steel worker who left wife and son to serve, became PTA co-founder, scout leader, deacon, elder, mason? And why, nearly 50 years after Hirohito sent others to face his shame, was his last wish? "No church service. If I have a church service, I'll be hung upside down on the cross."
Sorry, I was lost in that image. next up, we got Mark Seppi. Mark.
Thank you. Would you prefer the serious one first or the not so serious one first? Okay. Reassembling. The dead live here. We lie among the dead and stretch our bones, or we lie with our face turned down in grass, watch a half moon in the clouds. The clouds will come apart. These are shadows on a tree. These are shadows of a tree older than the graves put here by a hand no longer with us either. At night, the tombs are empty. The light that makes them whole has passed, and the glass shows bare except beyond your body at rest between the frame and lead. This is where the dead live. We pretend and then get up, and we walk and then walk over. We look behind our shoulders to find a desperation we felt before, that spoken word for hearing silence cradled by an unnamed song. And this doesn't have a title. I can't smell the moon. As far as I know, I will never get the chance to smell the moon in this lifetime. That stinks. I can smell a picture of the moon, though, and do a little research. Ask an astronaut on the internet, or maybe, if I'm lucky, at a National Air and Space Museum charity event. Hey, what on earth does the moon smell like anyway? Then they could say something about, "It smells like spent gunpowder," or Buzz Aldrin said once, "The ashes in a fireplace, especially if you sprinkle water on them." Get that. I've been to fires before. I've experienced ashes in a fireplace with a little water sprinkled on them, surely. And there it is. People have smelled that thing before. up in a rocket 240,000 miles from our noses. Can you believe it? Thank you.
I just wanted to thank everybody for coming out tonight, all the readers. It was a really extraordinary evening. And we're going to have Christine Telfer take us out. Come on up.
Okay, so this is going to be ending on a slightly lighter note. I found an old poem of Jimmy's in a magazine that I was on the editorial staff a long, long time ago, and it's not about war, but it's about marriage. So maybe there's a similarity. It's called Kentucky Freedom. I'll have some ginger sticks, 2 pounds of smoked bacon, and 5 pounds of flour. You bet the honeymoon is over. I'm left with the kids while he goes tramping off. Davy this, Davy that. He can forget it. I won't put up with it. I mean, a person can only take so much. Anybody care about Mrs. Crockett? Should say not. I'm tired of his rawhide, tobacco spitting, stinky horde. Can't keep a place clean when they're around. The place smells like the woods. Yesterday I told him, you sure ain't the man I married. Told him it's either me or the wild frontier. And that gun of his, let him try sleeping with that for a while. Calls himself a marksman. Shoot, he ain't found the mark in years. Now, Teddy, be a dear. Measure me 3 yards of flower pattern and 2 of the sunshine yellow. I'm going to make me a dress. Think I'll take you up on the invite to the social. It's about time for Mrs. Davy to find herself another coonskin cap. So, there you go. So that was Jimmy's, I don't know, the most feminist poem I think I've seen from him. And that's all I'm going to read. But, you know, this magazine was kind of, there was a woman who was on the staff at CCAC who helped us put it together, Nancy Gavrilis, who was, I think, an important mentor at one time for me and before that Jimmy as well. And I think she's a good person to remember. And her father was a World War II hero, and her sons were in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I used to talk to her on the phone, and I swear to God, she could solve the world's problems. I mean, if she were in a position, she understood, oh, the conflict between the soldiers and Obama, and oh, yeah, really, it's too bad she's not around anymore.
Sorry, got stuck. This is not my poem. This is a poem by Russ Green. He's a New York poet. This is from his chapbook, Give Me Back My Radio. Epiphany. One homeless vet gets one summons for sitting on one bench in one little town, in one state, in one country, for which that one soldier fought for what he thought was freedom.
Thanks, everybody. Hope to see you next week. Thanks so much.